Well, good morning. My name is Tom Dubois. I'm the pastor of Western Mountains Baptist Church in New Portland, Maine. And this morning, I just want to share with you that it looks like we'll be doing this for a while yet before we can actually meet together, at least another month, maybe more. But we'll keep you posted on our progress and on what we are doing to try to keep people safe when the day comes when we can. Gather once again together. So this morning, if you grew up in the 1980s, then you may remember the name of a punk band called The Cure. They were fairly popular. Well, our message title today has literally nothing to do with this band and has everything to do with Jesus. We are going to see this morning that Jesus is the cure, which is our sermon title. He is the cure to what ails you. Now, some of those ailments may be physical, like we will see in our text this morning, but I know that many of our ailments are emotional. Many of our ailments are spiritual. Many of our ailments are, quite frankly, mental. And I submit to all of us that Jesus is the cure for all those ailments in one form or fashion. Now, if you were with us last week, we are following closely on the heels of Jesus walking on the water on the Sea of Galilee as the disciples are going to Bethsaida on the north end of the sea. And we'll see that they have altered their course just a bit this morning and now are headed to the region of Gennesaret. So let's pick up the account this morning. We're in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. And we're going to start with just 53. So that's Mark 6, verse 53. If you have your Bibles, now would be a great time to crack those open and turn there with me. Mark 6, verse 53, and it reads like this. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. So just a word about Gennesaret. It is an interesting place. The rabbis at the time actually called this place the Garden of God because it was such a fertile plain. And there were also some springs in the region that were believed to assist in healing. Medicinal springs, they were called. So this region contained a larger than usual population of sick people, invalids and the like, who were there in hopes of receiving healing from these medicinal springs of water. So this backdrop is important as we move forward through this account. So look with me now as we see what happens next in verses 54 and 55. They read like this. When they got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran about that whole country and began to carry here and there on their pallets those who were sick, to the place they heard he was, he being Jesus. See, Jesus was no stranger to these people. Mark tells us that the people immediately recognized him, that is, Jesus and not the disciples, and they all sprang into action. They ran about the whole country and began to carry all the sick people to Jesus. This is so interesting to me. The people do not immediately run to see Jesus. Their hearts and their minds are on their loved ones, family, friends, who have been suffering whatever these illnesses are. And they ran to get their sick family and friends, and they carried them to see Jesus. Wow, friends, this is such a beautiful picture of loving their neighbors as themselves, right? Look, they could have headed down to the waterfront and spent the day hearing Jesus preach and teach. They could have contented themselves to watch Jesus heal other people and marvel at his miraculous work. But they do something selfless instead. They put others ahead of themselves, and in a very active way, they go. They carry these sick people to wherever they heard that Jesus was. See, what they were doing required sacrifice. What they were doing required physical labor. They stepped outside themselves for the benefit of the person sick on their pallet. as my old boss used to say, sick to bed. These sick people were not able to get themselves to see Jesus. They needed the help. And was there any guarantee that Jesus would actually heal them? See, I'm unaware of any guarantee that Jesus would heal the people they carried to see him. But none of this stopped the people from trying. These people are showing their friends, neighbors, family members such compassion. And we have seen this the last couple of weeks when we saw Jesus forego rest and his own nourishment to care for the sick, to feed the people, to teach and to preach. And these folks are now emulating the same kind of selflessness, as should we. Now look at how this all unfolds in verse 56. Wherever he, that is Jesus, entered villages or cities or countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and imploring him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were being cured. Now, Jesus did not sit still and wait for the people to come to him. He was a man on the move, going from village to village, city to city. But the people were not discouraged by this. Instead, they kept chasing Jesus down. Mark tells us they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and imploring Jesus, begging Jesus, pleading with Jesus that he might heal those that they had carried to see Jesus. Now, this is how strong their faith is. They were convinced that if the sick person could simply touch the fringe of the cloak that Jesus was wearing, then they would be healed. Now remember, this had happened once before, right? Earlier in this gospel, Mark shared with us the account of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She touched the garment of Jesus and was healed. So a precedent has sort of been set here. And then Mark goes on to tell us, yes, as many as touched the cloak, even the fringe of the cloak of Jesus, these were all cured, healed of their affliction. Well, if you remember the conversation that Jesus had with the bleeding woman, you may remember that it was not the touching of his cloak that stopped the blood. No, it was her faith. And do you suppose it is any different in this situation, in this scenario? Well, of course not. We're not talking about a magic cloak. We're talking about faith. These sick people had faith that Jesus had the power to make them well, no matter how that might be accomplished. And they were right. And they were right. And guess what? Friends, Jesus still has the power to heal. Jesus is still the cure. Now, I know that some of us, maybe even all of us, at one time or another have prayed to Jesus for the healing of a loved one, only to still have them die. And I know some of us, maybe even all of us, have watched a dear Christian brother or sister pass from this life to the next, having suffered some terminal ailment along the way. And obviously they had prayed for healing, right? Well, here is how I hope God can comfort you. Sometimes the cure looks different than we think it should. See, most of us think healing should look like a recovery from an illness, a remission from cancer, the recovery from bodily injuries suffered in an accident or a car wreck, the curing of some illness or COVID-19 or some other life-threatening disease. But what if the cure looks more like a day when there is no more pain, no more tears, no more suffering? What if the cure looks like a home in heaven for all eternity? Is that not also healing? Look at what the Apostle John was told to write in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. Revelation 21, 3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. The Apostle John is describing heaven for us, and this is our forever home if we are followers of Christ. In this world, we are simply sojourners, aliens. And see, here it is for me this morning as I consider the cure. Christ Jesus, the cure, has the answer to the sickness of sin. His blood breaks the bonds of sin. His blood is the cure for sin, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Christ Jesus is the cure for spiritual sickness, in that he makes a way for us to be in right relationship with the Heavenly Father. And Christ does this with his substitutionary atonement. He took my place on the cross, suffering his death on the cross for my sin, for my guilt, for my shame. And Christ Jesus is the cure for our physical sickness, maybe through miraculous healing, like Mark has shown us in Gennesaret and in so many other places during his earthly ministry, because he is able. But let's face it, not everyone who prays for healing is healed like the people we see this morning in the Gospel of Mark. So we must recognize that for some, this healing may well be the ultimate healing, where there are no more tears. There is no longer any death. There is no more mourning, crying, or pain. For God is making all things new, including our own bodies. So we must recognize that for some, this healing may well be that ultimate healing. Well, time for a little transparency here. I was convicted when I read this passage out of Mark this week in preparation for this sermon. I am convicted that I might not always be one of those people who would immediately think of the person in need, then go and get that person, and then literally carry them to see Jesus. In fact, I know I am not one of those people, probably more often than I am one of those people. And here is how I know this of myself. I know Jesus. I know Jesus is the cure. And I know that there are people in my own sphere of influence that I am not bringing to see Jesus, to just touch the fringe of his cloak. Well, am I praying for the lost? Yes. Am I praying for the sick? Yes. But am I purposeful in bringing them to meet Jesus? If I am honest with myself, this is not always what is in the forefront of my mind. Yet the example we see today in the Gospel of Mark is that the first thought of these people was to go and get the sick and bring them to Jesus. Friends, is the lost person in your life not also sick? They are sick with sin. They need Jesus, and we have the cure for what ails them. Given the opportunity, which I get is harder right now, but given the opportunity, do we pray then and there for those who are sick, ill, injured? When someone tells us of their ailment, do we say, I will pray for you, or do we offer to pray right then and right there? Friends, this is a powerful tool we can use to introduce people to the cure. Now, hear me on this. Actually, hear Jesus on this. I cannot save anyone. You cannot save anyone. This is the work of God. In fact, look with me in the Gospel of John to see this truth laid out for us. It's in can be found in John 6, verse 44. John 6, verse 44 reads like this, the very words of Jesus. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Again, these are the very words of Jesus. But here's the deal. God the Father may be drawing them to himself through me or through you. Think about your own faith journey. Who was it that told you about Jesus? Who helped you understand who Jesus is? Who demonstrated the love of Jesus to you? Who demonstrated his grace and his mercy to you? See, those saints who interceded on your behalf are the hands and the feet of Jesus. And guess what? We are called to a similar calling. We are called to be the hands and the feet of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Friends, we have the cure. Can you imagine a family member, a friend, or a coworker sick with a disease and you had the cure, but you did not tell them? Of course you would tell them. We tell people about our latest diet. We tell people about our favorite restaurant. We tell people about our favorite outdoor recreation area. We would surely tell them about a cure to their chronic, even terminal disease. Well, maybe you are here today watching or listening and you're feeling a bit lost, a bit broken, even sick. Christ Jesus is the cure. He takes our sins and he puts them as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. And he does this for one reason: to reconcile us with God the Father. See, God the Father cannot look upon our sins. It's why Jesus came. It is why Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross to take upon the sins of the whole world. And that means yours and mine too. And by taking our sins upon himself and suffering in our place, we can now be reconciled to God by accepting this free gift of grace, this gift of unmerited favor that Jesus is offering to us. According to Ephesians, it is by grace through faith that we are saved, saved from the consequences of our sins. Mark shows us this morning how the sick in Gennesaret had faith in Jesus, faith enough to be healed by him with just the touch of the fringe of his cloak. See, my hope for all of us this morning is that we too would have faith enough in Jesus to experience the cure from sin, the cure from sickness, the cure from whatever might ail us. And I hope and pray, too, that we would endeavor to share the cure like we saw so many people do this morning, running and telling others about Jesus, carrying the sick to see Jesus that they might be healed. Friends, share the good news of Jesus Christ so that others might be healed by him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are grateful for the gift of your Son. We are grateful, Lord, that he demonstrated his love for us in so many different ways. And this morning we see him demonstrate that love through the healing of so many that were carried to him and healing them simply by the touch of his garment. What a miraculous picture that you give us this morning. And Lord, we know that that cure is not just the cure of physical ailments, Lord, but Jesus came to cure us of so much more, to cure us of our sin sickness, to break the chains of sin, break the bondage of sin, so that we might be free and free indeed. And Lord, I pray for those who haven't yet experienced that freeness, experiencing that freedom from sin, experiencing that freedom from the bondage of sin. It is such a heavy weight. We saw last week, Lord, how your burden is easy, your burden is light. And Father, I pray that each one of us would be able to experience that freedom. I pray that each one would be able to experience the cure. And I pray these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I just wanted to say that I'm looking forward to the day when we can all gather again. I'm looking forward to the day where I can see you all face to face. I'm praying for you, for your health, and for your safety. And may God bless you all.